Hi there. This is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly podcast. For more information about First Baptist Tulsa, check us out on the web, tulsafbc.org. First Baptist Tulsa has a simple mission: to glorify God in all we do. We want to make God look good because He is good. May God bless you with His goodness this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Colossians 2, 6 through 10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Colossians 2, 6 through 10.
So have you ever wondered if you were switched at birth? Did you ever look around at your parents and think, there is no way these people can be my parents? You look at your siblings, say, we cannot be related. So I want you to use your imagination for just a minute, and for some of you, you'll even have to travel back in time. I want you to imagine that you are at your parents' house, and you go up into the attic one day, and you see a travel chest that you've never seen before. It looks kind of mysterious and dusty, and so you go over, it's locked, so you pick the lock, and you open it up, and you discover that your parents are not your real parents at all. In fact, they abducted you from the hospital when you were a baby. And it turns out they are not your parents, they are criminals. You have suspected that for a long time, but now you have proof. And not only are your parents criminals, but you find information there about your real parents. Your mother is an artist. She is a painter at the Sorbonne in Paris. You discover that your father, your real father, is a Nobel Peace Prize winning scientist and an NFL professional football player. I mean, this explains so much, and you discover that there is an inheritance waiting for you if you're ever found. And you say, of course, this explains everything. As you dig into that trunk, what you'll be doing is discovering your true identity, your true capacities, your true capabilities. It will redefine your destiny and your future. Now, in one way, that story is completely fanciful, but in another way, it is also factual. Because I want you to hear this. You have a father that you may not have known that you had. You have a heavenly father, the maker of heaven and earth. And your older brother, your older sibling, Jesus Christ, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the Holy Spirit, God's personal, powerful presence that He has put inside of you, this is your inheritance from God. And this, if you can understand who you are based in these relationships, it will redefine your future and your eternity and your destiny. Listen, if you think Christianity is just something boring, you have not yet really grasped what following Jesus is all about. In fact, Christianity is the greatest adventure of a lifetime as we discover God and we rediscover who we are in a relationship with Him. Listen, what I offer you this morning is a new understanding. You have available to you an entirely new understanding of who you are. I want to say that again. You have available to you this morning an entirely new understanding of who you are. And the paperwork in the attic, that's the letter of Colossians. It's a little thin book in the New Testament. Paul is its author, one of the early followers, the early leaders of the Christian movement, and I would consider Colossians to be one of the most mystical books that Paul ever wrote, because it talks about discovering who God is in His fullness and who we are in a relationship with Him. And so as Paul opens up this paperwork to help us to appreciate this new identity, he starts this. This is in Colossians chapter 2. In fact, this is my favorite passage in Colossians 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Listen, when you become a Christian, that's not the finish line, that's the starting line. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here's what Paul says, and he speaks like a pastor here, so I resonate with this. He says, get on with it. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's time for you to start growing. So let's get going. Let's start growing together. And he uses a quartet of very picturesque terms to describe what that looks like. We are to be rooted in God, an agricultural term. So let's say you go to the Porter Peach Festival one year and you like peaches and you say, I could grow those. So you go buy a peach tree and you put it in your backyard. You leave it there for a couple of years and you go, I really don't like the placement of that. So you dig up that peach tree, you move it another place in your yard. A couple of years later, you go, not quite right. And so you move it again. And every 2 years you move the peach tree around. Guess what? You will never get fruit from that tree. Because for a fruit tree to bear fruit, it needs to send down roots. It needs a good 2, 3, 4, 5 years before it will start to really begin to produce. One of the things I love about monastic spirituality, you know, I have my monks I go and visit out in eastern Oklahoma. When a monk enters a monastery, they take a vow of stability. When they go into a monastery, it's their intent to stay in this one place and to be around this group for the rest of their lives. Now, I think we have something that we can learn from that vow of stability, especially as we live in an increasingly mobile society, because we always think God is around the next corner. But listen to this. You will not find God in your next marriage if you're not seeing him in your current marriage. If you're not finding God in this marriage, you're not going to find him in your next marriage. If you're not finding God in the neighborhood in which you live, you're not going to find him in the next neighborhood where you live. If you're not seeing God in your current church, you're not going to find him in the next church. Why? Because you can't run from yourself. Who you are will follow you. And what Paul is saying here, would you drop down some deep roots in God? Stay where you are and let that root system develop and come to maturity. So you are to be rooted, and then he says, and be built up. Actually, that phrase there is translated as nourished. So we're still kind of going with this agricultural picture. Roots go down, and then we're nourished. Let me encourage you with this. As followers of Jesus, you need to learn how to feed yourself. Okay? You need to learn how to nourish yourself on a daily basis. And I use the illustration of when my kids were younger, little toddlers, I love to feed them, right? Now that they're teenagers, if I'm still feeding them, that's a little creepy, right? Some of you are spiritually creepy. You've been followers of Jesus for a long, long time, and you're still expecting somebody else to feed you, like your pastor, your life group leader, which there's nothing wrong with that. You should expect us to feed, but that cannot be the substance of your diet because it will be too sporadic. Daily, you need to understand what it means to sustain yourself, to be nourished, to read the Bible for yourself, to pray for yourself, to discern the will of God for yourself. Be rooted. Be built up. And then to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now, here's a big disconnect, because often what we do in Christian circles is we say, well, when something good happens to me, that strengthens me. And when something bad happens to me, that weakens me. Let me tell you that that is not a Christian view of the world. A biblical view of the world is this, that everything God allows to happen to me has the capability of strengthening me, both the good and the bad, and especially the bad. Okay, doesn't mean I seek it out, but God can use even that to strengthen me. So Charles Spurgeon was a very popular pastor in England about 100 years ago. And there is a woman in his congregation that he could never do anything to please her. Every time he spoke, she criticized. Every decision he made, she critiqued. Finally, she died. And Charles Spurgeon had the chance to do her funeral. And so when he did her funeral, he spoke of her in incredibly glowing terms. And a friend came up to him afterwards and said, Charles, I knew behind the scenes, I knew what she's been doing to you all these years. How could you speak of her in such glowing terms? And he said this, you have no idea how much she helped me grow. I do not want any of you to take it upon yourself to help me grow in that way. Don't do it. But I want you to get the feel that the good and the bad bear within it the seeds of us growing, of being stronger and stronger and stronger. So Paul says, get on with it. Be rooted, be built up, be strengthened. And by the way, can't overlook the thankfulness aspect. This is the picture of a river overflowing its bounds, that we live with such enthusiasm and excitement. It's like a river that cannot be contained within its banks, and it spills out everywhere uncontrolled. Get on with it. Grow. Now, some of you are saying, what does this have to do with Advent? Well, I can't take a verse out of its context. This is the context of Paul saying, grow closer to God. Then Paul begins to talk about this God to whom we grow closer. Who is he? 2021 years ago at Bethlehem, there was a birth. Who is this God in Jesus Christ? Now, this is verse 6 and 7. We're going to jump over verse 8. We'll come back to him. But I want to go to verse 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and every authority. As Advent, we're experiencing it this year. We're not looking at the events of Bethlehem. We're looking at the identity of the one who was born there. And we're looking at some of the deeper Christological passages. Who is Jesus Christ really? So with these two simple verses, allow me to say two things. God's completeness is found in Christ. Let me say that again. God's completeness is found in Christ and nowhere and in no one else. So every now and then I'll have a person approach me. Typically they've grown up in Christian circles and they'll come into my office and they'll say, you know what, I feel this need to shop my faith. All I've been exposed to is Christianity, so I want to get out there and I want to see what other faiths have to offer. I'm going to say some things that might surprise you here in the next few minutes, but I just want you to hear me out. I actually encourage that. All right? If you want to shop your faith, I've even taught a class in comparative religion. Let's shop it together. Let's talk about it. And I encourage people to shop their faith, not because I lack confidence in Christ, but because I have absolute confidence in Christ. I believe that people will not find anything even close to who Jesus is or what he has to offer us in a relationship with God. So I believe that most religions have a nugget of truth in them. That might surprise you to hear that, but what you think about it? Most religions have a little nugget of truth in them. Islam teaches submission to God. You know what? I think we could really learn something about that because that's a biblical concept as well. Listen, most of us submit to God only as far as we can understand him. If God explains himself, okay, we'll submit. But if ever it goes into an area where we don't understand, we tend to pull back on submission. What would it mean to submit to God whether I understand or not? Mormonism. I think there's some questionable theology in Mormonism. But one thing they got going for them is the way they teach their kids and raise their families. Listen, parents, we have slacked off in our circles on this one. We have left our children's spiritual life to somebody else to attend to. That is our job. If we don't attend to it, nobody else will. Eastern religions, I don't buy into the whole concept of karma, but I do like the way it's driven home about responsibility and consequences. So these other religions you see out here, there's a little nugget of truth in each one of them. Now, what you might expect me to say is you'll find some truth in all religions, but you'll find all truth in our religion. I'm not going to say that either. Do you see anything in this verse that says all truth is found in the Baptist church? It's not there. All truth is never found in a religion. Why? Because a religion is a man-made path to God. There is no path to God. There is only a person. And all truth is found in Jesus Christ. Listen, religion is a dead-end road, whether it's our religion or somebody else's. The only path to understand who God really is Jesus Christ. God's fullness is found in him. Now, let me go on to make a second point here, and it's from the latter half of this verse. God's fullness is found in Christ. Your fullness is found in Christ. You will never find completeness apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we believe what Paul says here, and I do, we will never find completeness apart from Jesus Christ. I don't know why I had this experience, but I did, and this sounds really odd now, but when I was 9 years old, I remember sitting on the couch in our living room at home. It was a Sunday morning. We had skipped church. Please don't tell anybody. And I was tying my shoe when I had an overwhelming sense of the futility of life. Now, I didn't know what to call it then, but I just had this overwhelming sense, what does all this mean? I mean, in a couple years, I'll be dead, and my family will all be dead. I mean, this is morbid things for a 9-year-old to think about, but I thought, what's the purpose of all of this? If one day you're here and the next day you're gone? And I didn't know at that point that there was an entire book dedicated to that subject. An entire book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes. An Older Testament follower of God who wrestled with the very same thing. I thought fulfillment would be found in partying. It wasn't there. I thought fulfillment would be found in education. That didn't work out. I thought fulfillment would be found in success and money and fame, and none of that. All of it proved to be empty. Here's the ultimate. God's completeness is found in Christ. Your completeness, your fulfillment, is only found in Christ. Now, there's enough people in this room that I know there are some here who's going to doubt that. Yeah, I don't know about that. My completeness only found in Christ. Let me go to the Christmas story for just a moment, because there are two people who doubt in the Christmas story. One is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. When an angel appears to him and says, "You will have a child who will be the forerunner of the Christ," Zechariah doubts. I don't see how this is going to happen. But then just a few verses later, an angel visits Mary, so she will be pregnant with the Christ child, and Mary says, "I don't see how this is going to happen." Zechariah is disciplined, and Mary is applauded. Why? Because it's two different kinds of doubt. One was the doubt of a closed mind. The other was the doubt of an open mind. So I'm going to say it's okay to doubt. But would you at least doubt with an open mind to say, "I have looked for completeness everywhere else. Maybe the person I'm looking for has been right in front of me the whole time." God's completeness is found in Christ. And your completeness is only found in Christ. Now, we skipped a verse, didn't we? So let's go back to it, and I think it bears some understanding based on all that we've talked about. Verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental forces of the world rather than on Christ." So here, sandwiched between these two concepts, Paul says, grow, get on with your faith, and understanding who Jesus Christ is. He is the fullness of God. Paul slips in this verse saying to us, in essence, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted from growing into a relationship with the eternal God of the universe found in Jesus. Don't let anything distract you. So here's my favorite knife these days. It used to be into the Swiss Army knives. They could do a lot of different things. This is my new favorite knife. This is called an open-nail knife. It's a French knife. I've often dreamed of wielding an open knife in front of my congregation. I'm just kidding. But I have. So here it is. It is incredibly lightweight. This was a knife that was famous among French railroad workers in the 20s and 30s, and it's just an incredibly durable knife. You see, instead of doing 1,000 things, it just does one thing really well. This is a parable. I think we as followers of Jesus, as the world gets more complex and more complicated, we need to learn how to do one thing really well. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Listen, and let me apply this in some ways you may not like. Politics. Boy, it has been a big year of politics, hasn't it? In fact, I've told my wife we are in the trifecta of bad commercials because we have the political commercials, now it's gone into the Christmas commercials, and the dieting commercials will be next, all right? Listen, so many Christians have become up in arms and distracted by politics. The last people on the planet who should panic should be followers of Jesus, because we know real power is not in any nation's capital. We're taught to be afraid and fearful about what could happen next in our history. Of all the people on the planet, we should be the last ones to panic, because we have hope of a confident future of God in heaven. And we live in an increasingly negative society. Christians should be the last people on the planet to be negative, because we believe that God's kingdom is coming, whether we see it or feel it or not. We cannot and we should not be distracted, because God's fullness, it's pretty simple, is found in one person, Jesus Christ. And our fullness, it's pretty simple, is found in Jesus Christ. In fact, you will never see the fullness of God apart from Jesus. And you will never experience emptiness in your own life if you are a part of Jesus. So there's a crime that's escalating in the United States. Since 2010, if we were to chart it out, it would be straight up and to the right. People have been stealing Jesus from outdoor manger scenes. Oh, steal the baby Jesus. You know, you see him out in front of St. Francis Hospital. It hasn't happened too much in Tulsa, but there's a church in Florida that has had their baby Jesus stolen so many times that they rigged it with a GPS so they could find it every time it's stolen. Isn't that crazy? So my invitation to you this morning is pretty simple. Steal Jesus. Don't take him from our nativity sets around the church. That would be a misapplication of this. Steal Jesus and put him away right here. Because he is the fullness of God. You will not find him anywhere and in anybody else. And your own completeness is found in Christ. Without him, you will be empty. Steal Jesus and tuck him away right here.